This is The World Tonight. Good evening. I'm Douglas Edwards, CBS News. The House Judiciary Committee continued its public debate on the impeachment of President Nixon today, and the nation watched and listened and tried to keep score, a score that seemed to be moving against the president. Neil Strauser reports.
As the debate has proceeded, the president has found no Democratic defenders on the committee. His Republican defenders have mainly argued the character of the evidence, that it is not admissible in a court of law or too circumstantial. Republican David Dennis of Indiana, for instance, said the president does have much to answer for, but said Dennis it does not justify the catharsis of impeachment.
There will be another election in 1976. And we could enter our 200th year better by preserving our rights until that time and not trying to purge our sins by the persecution of an imperfect president who probably represents us both in his strength and his weakness all too well.
But there was another defection from the Republican ranks, M. Caldwell Butler of Virginia.
There are frightening implications for the future of our country if we do not impeach the President of the United States, because we will by this proceeding establish as a matter of record a standard of conduct for the President of the United States which will be for all time a matter of public record. If we fail to impeach, we have condoned and left unpunished a course of conduct totally inconsistent with the reasonable expectations of the American people.
Wisconsin Republican Harold Froehlich said his decision awaits the wording of the article of impeachment on cover-up, bringing to 7 the number of Republicans who may vote for one or more of the articles if there is a compromise agreement on the wording. Neil Strauser, CBS News, Washington.
The White House has been saying for a long time that inflation is the number one problem of the nation, not Watergate or impeachment, and President Nixon addresses himself to that question in a speech tonight in Los Angeles. Bernard Kalb has a report.
The speech has been advertised by the White House as a major one dealing with the economy, but even his business audience is expected to be listening to see whether the president will deal, however elliptically, with the impeachment challenge now facing him. His appearance today will be his first scheduled public outing since his defeat at the hands of the Supreme Court and the televised start of Capitol Hill proceedings on his future as president. The speech comes against the background of concern about a recession. The administration insists the country is not in the midst of one, and anxiety about inflation, which even the administration concedes as being serious. The economic advisors of the president have been suggesting that no one look for any drastic revision in the administration's basic economic strategy with its accent on restraints. One of the problems facing the president, if in fact he re-endorses current policy, is that his speech does not sound simply as though it were a pep talk. It's known that the president has been working regularly on his address on the economy, with the administration saying the people are far more concerned about inflation than about Watergate or any other single subject. Bernard Kalb, CBS News, with the presidential party in California.
More news in a moment. Last night when James St. Clair announced that President Nixon would obey the Supreme Court, he said that getting the tapes ready would be a time-consuming process. Leon Jaworski made it clear today that his special prosecutor's office doesn't want to wait. He asked Judge Sirica for an order that would require the White House to start turning over the tapes in 2 days. Sirica has scheduled a hearing tomorrow morning to hear arguments by Jaworski and St. Clair on the timetable. Daniel Shore has a report.
What Jaworski is asking is that the White House be ordered to turn over to the court the first 20 tapes within 2 days, another 21 within 6 days, and the remaining 23 within 10 days. His motion says there's no valid reason for delay since most of the tapes have already been reviewed by the White House. Jaworski says he needs the tapes quickly to avoid a delay in the September 9th start of the Watergate cover-up trial. But one tape may be especially important to the impeachment process, if Congress can get it. It's number one on Jaworski's list, the Nixon-Dean meeting of March 17, 1973. In testimony disclosed by the House Judiciary Committee today, John Dean insisted he discussed hush money with the president before March 21st and that the date may have been the 17th. The president's case hinges on hush money as the main issue, and March 21st as the first time he heard about it. If Dean is right, the tape could have impact on the impeachment process whenever it might become available during the House debate or even during a Senate trial. Daniel Shaw, CBS News, Washington.
The World Tonight continues after this message. However traumatic it may be to the national spirit, many Americans are trying to take comfort in the viewpoint that the impeachment debate in Washington is a shining example of democracy at work. Eric Severide has a commentary.
The ancient Athenians invented direct democracy. They thought 5,000 citizens was about the manageable maximum for it. They assembled on the Nyx, a terraced hillside by the Acropolis, to make their laws, elect or depose their leaders. Our democracy is indirect and representative in conception. But we have our Nyx. It is called Capitol Hill. At its foot lies the federal court building where the people's prosecutor works. On its summit, the Supreme Court and the congressional buildings. Yesterday and again today, 5,000 or so citizens drifted back and forth, shouting or singing or arguing for and against deposition of the national leader. And the red eye of the television camera trained on the impeachment process brought millions of others into the meeting. It is something approaching direct democracy, and it does seem manageable. The impeachment committee members talked on, most of them ritualistically wishing this cup could be taken from them. It may contain political hemlock. All had clearly done their arduous homework. Sober men and women, a fair cross-section since it's a big committee of the House itself and maybe of the country. The most avid pro-impeachment members seem prosecutors but not persecutors. The most avid anti-impeachers refuse to condone much that the president and his men have done. One Republican observed that the principle of only those without sin casting the stone could not apply here, since the question is not one of common human failings, but abuse of power of the law. But the next one reduced it to the most primitive partisan level, saying, you're another, or rather, Lyndon Johnson was another. But the debate refuses to stay down. It constantly seeks the high ground. The sharpest of those against impeachment concentrated on the individual trees. Only that way, they said, could admissible evidence for a final trial be determined. Most of those for impeachment called attention to the forest. Another figure of speech might serve, since the president, too, is called Watergate broad but thin as a scandal. Each sheet of plywood is thin, but laminated, glued together, they make a plank. The impeachers say the sheets are glued together, that the glue was the president's own attitude and wishes, and the plank is thick enough for him to walk it. Inference piled on inference is not admissible evidence, warned Mr. Wiggins, but certain inferences relentlessly knock for admission to the members' minds. Why were those 18 and a half minutes of tape deliberately erased? Why does the president continue to defy...